good to see everybody here today. I hope you've all had just a really fine week. It was sure nice to enjoy some rain again this week. We obviously would enjoy some more, but aren't we thankful for what God has given us this past week? And thankful as well for those who did get some really nice amounts. This whole region has certainly been in need, and it's just it's encouraging to see that as we start to get rain again. Speaking of which, next week the kids get out of school. I guess this week we want to pray that they have a good and safe summer. But with the getting out of school also comes the mowing of the lawns for the teens. And it looks like we're starting to get some things that we may need to cut if we keep getting a shower or two. And so probably a week from tomorrow we will begin on a Monday night. If you would like to help with the meals or anything like that, please let me know about that. And we've had a couple that have been taking care of that for a long time. They may continue to do that, but they may be ready for a break too. So we'll be looking at all that, but be keeping that in mind. Vacation Bible School is coming up in just a month, and that's one of our great opportunities to really reach out into the community. Our ladies have really, I believe, done a wonderful job in making sure that the Bible classes are Bible classes, and yet that they're attractive to the kids and enjoyable. I think they really put a good display of Christianity on for some of these young people. And so be thinking about that, be praying about that, that that's a success. Invite your neighbors if you can, their kids. Probably be better to invite the kids. But we start at 4, and we go all the way up to 6th grade on that. So I'm going to be looking in John chapter 3, if y'all would like to be turning over there. Speaking of turning, I turned the calendar, and I noticed I've got 16 more months before my last day here, and I know y'all are looking forward to that with great anticipation. I have to admit I have bittersweet thoughts about it. I do notice myself getting a little tired from time to time. We certainly plan on staying here and happy, but we are going to hopefully get another minister here and within that time frame or about that time frame. So be praying for that. It's an important thing. One of the things that I really appreciated about this congregation since I've been here is the encouragement that you have provided. And I hope you'll do that for the next minister. I really enjoyed watching our gospel meeting last month when we had all these young men come in and the encouragement that you provided for them. There is something about youth. Like I say, I'm starting to run down a little bit. We probably need somebody that's capable of keeping up, both with the youth group and all the different things that we do in town. And yet at the same time, they may need a little help like I did. Y'all raised me from a pup. And I know that you're still thinking that sometime I'll get house trained, and I still haven't, but there's always hope. But hopefully we will have, not only the patience with the new one, but also the love that we need, and we will get somebody and his wife here who are ready to work and who can bring a fresh enthusiasm and zeal for the Lord. And so be praying for that. That's an important thing. Still 16 months away, but it'll be here before I know it. Y'all will probably think, boy, hasn't the time passed yet? John chapter 3. Let me start by asking you this. Are you in a rut? People get in ruts, do they not? There are times where you just kind of look back and you think, man, all I do is get up, put out fires, and go to bed. And get up the next day and put out fires and go to bed. And I believe the reason that we do that, when we do that, and I believe we all do that from time to time, is because we become physically minded. We start looking at primarily the physical things. Did we get enough rain? Have I the resources I need to pay my bills? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? These things are all legitimate concerns. But I believe that the ruts come in life when we start to put the physical things of life over the spiritual. Physically, you have less time right now than you have ever had in your life to live. You don't have to thank me for that little cheery bit of information. For those of you who are probably, we'll just say, if you're past the age of 40, it's not going to get any better. Your body is designed to deteriorate physically. Your mind is designed to start slowing down as well. You're not going to have the same capability of learning. So this is not a excuse to stop learning. It's an encouragement to put more effort into it. But there are a lot of things that slow down. Physically, we are designed by our Maker to wear down and eventually get to go on to that for which we were created. Spiritually, it's not going to get any worse than right now. It's only going to get better if you are serving God. If at any moment you decide to ease back on the throttle of service, then certainly it's going to get worse, and at some point it will be so unbearable that you will not be able to believe the pain of the first few seconds of the eternity that you have been warned against but which you chose. But if you have decided to follow Christ and Christ's way, even though you will make plenty of mistakes along the way, you will always be determined to come back to God on God's terms. It's only going to get better for you. This is the message of John chapter 3, I'm convinced. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus has come to Jesus at night. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, said to him, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read this, it's like, well, where did that statement come from? All Nicodemus said was nobody could do what you're doing unless he came from God. And then Jesus tells him how to be in the kingdom. Whether there was more conversation here that we're not privy to, or whether it was that just Jesus cut to the chase because he saw what Nicodemus was there for, Jesus got to the most important part. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Now let me stop and say this. The ungrateful person or the short-sighted person will look at this and they will say, well, that means I have to be baptized. And that's true. He is referring to baptism in part, certainly. But for those who are more far-sighted, for those who have a gratitude of what is happening here in this offer, you will notice that this is an offer to start over again, to be born again, to not be nearly done with your life, but just to be beginning the exciting things that God has for you. Choice is yours. You don't have to accept His offer. And that's why Jesus started off this statement by saying, "Truly, truly," said it twice. This is the truth. It's the idea of pay attention to it, because most people will not. And then he uses the word unless. Unless is a qualifier. Unless means that if you don't do this, this is not going to happen. But if you do, it will. And so he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of that which we know and bear witness to that which we have seen, But you don't receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This being born again is your opportunity to live forever. Now, let me say this. You're going to live forever anyway. It's just where you're going to live. The accommodations are different. The preparations are different. It is very true that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It is equally true that hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. And so Jesus just makes sure he understands this. He uses the word truly four times. This is something that is absolute. Sometimes I am just absolutely taken aback by people's cavalier attitudes towards God's commands. As far as, no, he says that. But he told me about grace. I'm going on grace. We are all going on grace. Grace is your chance to serve. Grace is not your chance to sin again. Will you sin again? The answer is yes. But grace is not a license for immorality. Jude wrote that very specifically because there was a segment of the church that had decided we can sin and still be saved. And Jude had to write through inspiration that you cannot. You've got to give up the sin. But if you do, you're born again. Look what you got waiting for you. This is an exciting thing. And again, for those who are in a rut, I have a strong suspicion if you're like me, it's because you're focusing more on the physical than you are the spiritual. And so this may be a spiritual wake up. In John chapter 4 and verse 13, now we find Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. I always loved the fact that Jesus spoke to people that might have been beneath the dignity of others, but he came to save those who were sick spiritually, not to come and cheerlead those who were well spiritually. And he tells this woman in verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now, having lived in the panhandle for a number of years, this is a hard concept for me to grasp. But I had a man who has a property in Arkansas near a place called Mammoth Springs. And Mammoth Springs is a source of underground water that, if I recall correctly, puts forth millions of gallons of water in a day. It's a seemingly unending supply. And for those of us who live in the panhandle, who sometimes measure our moisture by the distance of the raindrops, this is kind of hard to grasp. This idea of a spring. And what Jesus is saying spiritually, you will have everything you need to refresh yourself. It'll just keep on welling up from within you. And he's talking, we'll find out in just a little bit, about the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing he's given me. In John chapter 4, he's still talking to this same woman. He points out, an hour is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So as we talk about this new start, this new life that we're given, we need to understand this. When he tells us that we are to worship him, this is not just a formal worship. This is our everyday life, that it has to be spirit and truth. It has to be the right way for the right reason. Do we have to obey him to the letter? And the answer is yes. But it has to be from the heart. Jesus pointed out four times in John 14 that obedience was going to be because of love. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. Again, the point is we're going to serve him the right way, but it's going to be for the right reason. Now, this next passage, I hope will help dispel the notion that you have to wait for the right time. One of the most common things for men is to buy into the false notion that the time is not right or that somehow it's going to get better for you. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had this thought? Maybe you've even spoken out loud. I know I need to get more serious for God, but I've got to get my life right first. I've got to get my health right first, and then I'll get really serious. Or I've got to get my head right. You know how it is. We have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of things to sort through. We got to get our heads right. Or I got to get my finances right. This thing hanging over me right now is only going to be here for a while. Then I'm going to get serious for God. Or I have to get my relationships right. And when I get my relationships right, that is the moment that I'm going to start serving God. Or whatever it is, you just fill in the situation that you have on any particular day that has to be right before you can really get started, and you will realize the truth of this statement. The fields are white unto harvest. The time is now. You have people that you know in your life that perhaps you are their best chance. Maybe you are the closest to them. Maybe you're a spouse. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a friend. Maybe you're a child of theirs. But you know from observing their life, not because you're judging their hearts or the motives of their hearts, but you know just from observation that they may not be in the right situation. And you know that they have an opportunity for eternal life just like you had, which you accepted. And yet you're waiting for the right time, or maybe you're waiting for the right time to really get back and start worshiping again or start studying again or start praying again. And let me say this, if you are waiting for the right time, it's never, ever, ever going to happen. That's not the way life works. Anything that is important in your life, you have to make the time for. You have to make the effort for. If it's important to you, you will. I had a daughter I watched would go out and practice basketball for 4 hours a day during the summertime in a hot gymnasium. Why did she do that? It's because she loved it. She didn't do it because she had to do it. I had another daughter who would never pick up a basketball unless she was forced to do it or encouraged by her mean parents. Why? She did not love basketball. Why will you get serious about God? It's because you love Him. Why will you not? You can figure that out, can't you? The point is, there are so many times in my life where I have some thought like, God knows I love Him, but... And then I excuse myself from my service. Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. The fields are white unto the harvest. There's one more instance I want to call to your attention. It's found in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals the lame man. If you want to know what that means, go talk to Nate, because Nate's got the best definition I've ever heard. But in John chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said to the man, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." Now, when we talk about this new birth, is that not essentially what Jesus is doing for us? You were lame and you couldn't. On your own, you could not do the things that you wanted to do, but now you can. Here is a fresh set of legs, a fresh start. Well, the odd thing is that lame man went, and some of the Jews came to him and said, "Who healed you on a Sabbath?" And so he went to go find out who healed him, because he didn't know. And it was so he could apparently report it back to the authorities. That's what he eventually ended up doing. And that's really maybe the only explanation for John chapter 5 and verse 14, because it says, "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, you've become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you.'" It's this idea with this second chance. We need to do something with it. Will we sin again? Of course we will. But we've got to try not to sin. And when we fail, whether we intended to or not, we need to come back to God. If we don't, just think about that. I've been laid up just a time or two in my life. I have not experienced the difficulties that so many have, but there's been a time or two in my life. Matter of fact, there's been a dozen times I've been on crutches. There are 6 weeks I was on a couch because I had torn something that apparently was important, and they stuck somebody else's part in me, and it took that long for the two to meld. And oh, it just drove me crazy. But at the same time, I knew I did this to myself. But let me tell you, when I got back up, it was an amazing opportunity. You know what I did? I went out and I used my leg again. When you have the opportunity to be born again, maybe your life hasn't been used in the right way, but you have the opportunity to use your life in the right way. Get up and use it again, or something worse may happen. The only thing worse than us wasting our life for God now is paying the penalty for it for eternity. And others paying the penalty for it eternally, because when the fields were white unto harvest, we didn't think enough of their soul to tell them and encourage them. I want to say again, we've been given a second chance. It's a marvelous chance. It's a chance to live forever in the most privileged service you can have. The greatest job on the face of the earth is serving God and serving Christ. And you've been given that chance. What will you do with it? Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian this morning, we would love to help you with that. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing?